What a great resurrection celebration. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I love March Madness. How many have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, I think everybody knows. College basketball. They're down to the, how many they got left? 12, I think. After today, it'll be 8. And the one thing about March Madness, one loss, and you're done. Doesn't matter if the ref made a bad call in the last few minutes. They're not going to go back and change the outcome. Even if your team put in a good effort, man, they fought hard, but they lost. There are no second chances in March Madness. Now, my team is still in it, the Tennessee Volunteers. They play tonight. Pray for them. Amen. No, we're not going to pray for them. But we'll see what happens. But I'm sorry to tell them, one loss, they're gone. No second chances. Let's read Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great, large. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted." Say that word with me. I just love that word. Ready? Affrighted. Tanya says, "Afeared." All right? "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." Say it with me, ready? "He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. The angel informs them, these women, that Jesus was not there, that he was risen. Then he says in verse 7, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." Did you notice those two words that make all the difference? Look carefully, "and Peter." Why did we find this in the angel's message to the ladies? Why did they say that? "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Why didn't he say, "Go tell the disciples and John"? John was there at the cross with the mother of Jesus when all the others had forsaken and fled. Why didn't the angel say, "Go and tell his disciples and Joseph of Arimathea"? Joseph took the body of Jesus, laid him in his own tomb. But the angel didn't point out any other men except Peter. Because the Lord knew exactly what Peter needed. Peter needed some encouragement. Have you ever been in a time and a place where you feel down in the dumps? You have failed the Lord and you need a pick-me-up? That's exactly what Peter needed. Peter had denied the Lord 3 times in his hour of testing. He needed these words of affection. He needed a new beginning, a fresh start. He needed a second chance. How many of you have ever felt like you've blown it? My hand is up. What's one of the messages of the empty tomb? It's the message of the second chance. Easter means hope, a new opportunity, a new life, a new beginning. I'm glad these two words, and Peter, tell us about the second chance. I got four quick points for you. Number one, the second chance is possible. You say, preacher, how is it possible? Because of the resurrection. If there were no resurrection, there would be no gospel. It would not be complete if he were still dead in the grave. But we serve a risen Savior. That, hey, if there had been no resurrection, there would be no good news, no new beginning. Peter thought the Lord had disowned him. He had failed so badly. When Peter heard those words, he knew a second chance was possible. The Bible is a story of men and women who got a second chance. When the Lord spoke to Moses out in the wilderness, out of the burning bush, Moses knew that a second chance was possible. Do y'all realize Moses had murdered an Egyptian? And for 40 years he was on the backside of the desert, but God still used him, gave him a second chance. When I read Psalm 51, that's David's prayer of repentance. Now, did he blow it big time? Are we all in agreement there? Yeah. Here's a man full of lust, commits adultery with Bathsheba, tries to cover it up, even has her husband Uriah killed. But when I read Psalm 51, I realize the second chance is possible. God used King David again. How about Jonah? Oh boy. When I read the words of Jonah 3, guess what it says? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You know what that tells me? Our God is a God of second chances. Jonah had rebelled against God. He did not want to go preach in Nineveh. No, he even had to spend some time in the belly of a whale. But God still used him. Aren't you glad, church, that the second chance is possible? Now, it's not automatic. Listen carefully. Judas reformed, but he did not believe in Jesus. Remember that day he came back with the 30 pieces of silver and cast them down? But he never put his faith and trust in Jesus. How about the rich young ruler? He was very remorseful. He met Jesus, and it says that he went away very sorrowful, but he never believed in Jesus. How about Pilate? He regretted his evil deed, putting Jesus on the cross, but belief in Jesus never came. It's not about reform. It's not about being remorseful. It's not about regret. We must all realize that the only way is Jesus Christ. And the gospel is his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you must realize you are a sinner. Romans 3:23, if you know it, say it with me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We needed a Savior because of our sin. Number two, you got to realize there's a penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, being separated from God forever. That's Romans 6:23. Oh, you got to realize you're a sinner. You got to realize there's a penalty for sin. But praise God, Jesus paid the way. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt. And now all we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you trust him today? Do you realize you're a sinner? You realize there's a penalty for sin, separation from God forever? Do you realize Jesus made a way for you? And all you have to do is call out and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Well, I also want to direct this to Christians.
this verse and Peter, talking about second chances, this verse is not for those who think they can continue in the same sin and come back again and again and again and again. Listen, it's for Christians like Peter who have repented of their sin, recognized their sin, and they have wept bitterly over it. They're not trampling the grace of God and say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm just going to continue to live like I want to live. That's trampling the grace of God. No, if you want a second chance, you need to recognize your sin. I'm talking to Christians. You need to weep bitterly, repent of your sin, just like Peter. He was sorrowful, and his tears brought him mercy because he was repentant. There is no hope for a second chance if you're just sorry because you got caught. You ever been there? Boy, we could turn on the tears when our parents caught us doing something wrong, couldn't we? But that's not what the Lord's talking about here. He wants us to come to Him and forsake our sin, admit that it's wrong, and be truly repentant and have a broken heart about it. And then forsake it. Stay away from it. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. Amen. Now, even the angel wanted Peter to know that he had a second chance. One failure doesn't make a flop. How do you like that? Aren't you glad of that? A second chance is possible. I got three more quick ones ready. A second chance is personal. Do you know Jesus loves us individually? John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. You know Jesus saw in Peter potential. When Peter heard what the angel said, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ still believed in him. Put yourself in his place. He had failed miserably, but Jesus still believed in him. It's one thing for us to believe in him, but to know that he believes in us is just amazing, right? When we know the boss at work believes in us, we give him our best. When we know the coach believes in us, man, we strive to achieve more. When we know our fathers and our mothers believe in us, we go the second mile. We serve a personal God. Our Lord wants Peter to know personally that he's got a second chance. Do you know God still uses regular people to be world changers? He's not looking for super saints. Look in the mirror. He's looking for you. And you can turn the world upside down. He uses folks just like you and me. Peter's fall was so public, his denial. His sin hurt the cause of Christ. Did you know what sin can wreck? Our homes, our hearts, our plans, and other people. But it cannot. Woo! It cannot make God stop loving you. The second chance is possible. It's personal. Number three, it's private. Turn over, if you will, or it'll be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15:5, just a simple verse. We've just talked about the gospel, that he was buried, verse 4, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The next verse, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas. That's another name for who, y'all? Peter! Now, this tells me that the second chance is private. When Jesus arose, one of the first things he did was find Peter. This was a personal and private occasion. We'll never know what all took place. But I tell you what, I can imagine. I'm sure there were bitter tears. I'm sure there were broken words through quivering lips. Peter assured Jesus of his love, and Jesus assured Peter of his love. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because I've been there, and I know a second chance is private. I know it's possible. I know it's personal. Do you see tenderness on Jesus' parts? He meets with him first before seeing him with the 12, with the rest of the group. Even though Peter had denied him publicly, he was forgiven privately. Have you had a private encounter with Jesus? It's not enough to simply hear the good news of the resurrection. Hey, he wants to speak to you today. He wants to meet with you in a person. You ever had a meet with Jesus moment? Is that what they call it? Where you just got to get thoroughly right with the Lord. And he's convicting you and you have to respond. It doesn't have to be out in front of the big crowd at church. No, it's a private time where you get thoroughly right with God. Number four, the second chance is profitable. This meeting transformed Peter's life. He went on to preach at Pentecost. Whoa, wait a minute. Why didn't Jesus pick somebody else to preach at Pentecost? He wanted to use Peter. Peter became a recognized leader of the early church. We see him preaching. We see him beaten. We see him imprisoned. We see him counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' sake. All because of those two words. And Peter. Do you know we have a way of remembering somebody's failures and forgetting their strong points? Shake your head with me. Man, we're terrible at that. If somebody were to mention a name, immediately we're going to think, woo, we're going to point out all their failures, all their weaknesses, instead of pointing out their strong points. Some would have said, hey, if they were the angel that day, hey, go tell the disciples, but forget Peter. He failed. He denied the Lord. Do you know what? I want to encourage everyone here today. We can get up from our failures. Are you ready for this? Failure is not final with the Father. Say it with me. Ready? Failure is not final with the Father. Well, I need to be reminded of this today. Peter remained faithful until his death. He followed the Lord all the way to the end. He was crucified upside down. They were going to crucify him, but he said, nope, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus, so do it upside down. Gave his life for Jesus. Y'all believe the second chance is possible, personal, private, and profitable. He can use us even if we've messed up. Every one of us has messed up. Amen? For all of you who have failed, for all of me that has failed, I need to listen to the words. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you. Put your name in that verse. Go tell the disciples and Jim and Ron, whoever. Put your name in that. I tell you, he wants to meet with you in a personal way. He wants to be your personal Savior. He wants to make your life profitable. And he wants you to realize this morning, you got a second chance. In fact, you got a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth chance. Amen? Just go to the Lord, forsake your sin, get right with God. He wants to use you again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. That's what the empty tomb. Boy, I learned a lot from it, but that's one thing I learned is God is a God of second chances, and I'm so thankful for that. Boy, we mark people off our list. They wrong us, but Jesus never does that. How many are you thankful for that? Say amen. We serve a God of the second chance. I wonder if you hear, in the middle of that message, I gave a clear presentation of the gospel. Hold on. And I wonder if you're here today and you say, preacher, if I were to die right now, I don't know if I would go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? I realize I'm a sinner. I realize the penalty for sin is death, spiritual death, being separated from God forever. And now I realize what Jesus did for me. And he completed salvation with his death, burial, and while we celebrate today, his resurrection. I realize he is the only way. And I realize now I just need to call upon him. Believe on him as my Savior. It's not about me. It's not about my good works. It's not about anything I can do. The work has already been done on the cross. He has given us the victory. So I want to trust Him as my Savior today. Is that your heart? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Would you say, preacher, pray for me. I want to do that today. Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Anybody? I just want to rejoice with you. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody? All right. I want to trust in Him today as my personal Savior. I wonder if in the quietness of this moment, if you're a man, one of our men, take the Word of God, just go over those scriptures one more time. Make sure you understand what salvation is all about. I wonder if you would come right now and let one of our men speak with you. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Let's stand together. We're just going to have an invitation, give you an opportunity to respond. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, let's get it settled today. Don't put it off. Would you come?